again, all you shiny happy people. Welcome back to Wonderfield Stories. I'm your host, Mr. Soul. Now, do you ever feel stuck or bored doing the same old things over and over again? Maybe it's staring at a screen that doesn't really make you happy, scrolling and scrolling, or playing the same video games, waiting for something fun to happen, but it never quite does. If that sounds familiar, it might be time to learn to pace yourself. PACE stands for productive, active, and creative every day. Productive means doing something that helps you grow, like learning a new skill, helping someone else, or finishing a small goal. Active means you're getting your body moving, running, stretching, biking, dancing, or just getting outside playing with your friends. Creative means using your imagination, drawing, building, writing, making music, or inventing something brand new. When you pace yourself, you wake up your mind, you get your blood moving, and you start to feel proud of what you're doing. So today, let's trade what doesn't give us much back for things that help us grow stronger, happier, and more alive. Every day, go towards your dreams. But for now, it's time for Chapter 17. Chapter 17. Liminal Spaces. A gray station wagon pulled up to the skating rink, and the three boys sprung from the doors like pinballs bouncing off a bumper. "Thanks for the ride, Mom," Jace called over his shoulder as he and his friends bounded toward the door. A tired-looking young man switched on the neon open sign hanging next to the front door. The window of the car rolled down jerkily, and Jace's mom called from the driver's seat. "Kai, your dad is coming later to pick you guys up, right?" Kai turned just long enough to answer with a double thumbs up and a wide smile. Jace's mom nodded and waved as she drove away, carefully avoiding the concrete pylons guarding the driveway entrance. Crashing through the front door, laughing and pushing, the boys were halted by the strange silence of the large, dark room. The oval-shaped rink, usually brightly illuminated with colorful lights, was shrouded in deep shadows. The only light spilled from a back room where a young worker was scurrying around with pre-opening rituals. Davy surveyed the space. "I've never seen it with the lights off. It feels so empty." A loneliness gnawed at his stomach for a moment as the memory of his father and mother's argument from earlier passed like a cloud through his mind. The road rash on his cheek tingled under the antibacterial medicine slathered on it. He was trying not to touch it, but the tingling turned to itching and required a small poke from his pinky finger to satisfy the discomfort. "That's because it is a liminal space," Kai explained. "A what?" Davy was jarred from his momentary daydream. "It's a place that feels like it's in between things. It's not quite one thing or the other," Kai continued. "Sometimes I have no idea what you're talking about," Davy confessed. "Okay, imagine you're at school, but it's after hours, and the hallways are all empty and quiet. It feels kind of weird, right? That's what a liminal space feels like." "Why would anyone be at school after hours?" Davy joked. Kai ignored him and continued. "A stairwell, a long empty corridor, or a waiting room. These places feel a bit weird because they're usually meant for passing through, not staying in. It's like you've intruded on a moment of transition. You're not quite certain how you got there and not sure where you're going yet. That's what makes them feel so weird and kind of cool." Davy stared at the dark room, slack-jawed. "Yup, that's exactly what I was thinking." Jace was talking with the disheveled worker when his friends joined him at the counter. "How much would it cost to pay for everybody that comes in tonight?"
"It depends on how many people show up," the bored kid answered as he sprayed disinfectant into a line of skates. "It costs $4 for a ticket and skate rental."
"And how many people usually show up on Friday night?" Kai followed up.
"Depends. Could be 50 or 100, maybe more."
The worker was growing annoyed.
"Are you saying you want to rent out the rink for a party tonight? That must be done a week in advance, buddy."
Jace tried to clarify.
No, we want to pay for everybody who shows up. Can we do that? The young man looked confused, but tried to clarify. You want to pay for everybody who comes in tonight? Yes, Jason Kai answered at the same time. Jinx, you owe me a Coke. Jay slugged his friend playfully on the shoulder, but stayed engaged with the negotiations. Oh, man, that would be like hundreds of dollars, little dudes, the worker said. How many hundreds of dollars? Kai inquired. The worker closed an eye as he strained to do the math in his head. Finally, he stopped to fish out a calculator, and after punching in some numbers, he blurted, like $400, maybe more. Jace turned to Davey, who pulled a white envelope out of his pocket. The duo turned away from the sudden curiosity of the guy behind the counter and counted out the appropriate bills. Here you go. Jace slapped down a pile of money on the counter. That is $500, more than enough for everybody to skate. The drowsy worker was shocked, but immediately noticed an opportunity for a sale. Well, you're gonna want snacks too, right? Kai and Jace shrugged as they looked at each other. Sure, I guess so. Well then, he said, scooping up the cash on the counter. He punched a button on the cash register and it popped open with a ding. I'll take this now, and at the end of the night, I'll let you know how much you owe the Snack Shack. Do you have enough for that? Oh yeah, Davey announced from over Kai's shoulder as he folded the envelope in half and stuffed it back in his pocket. We've got plenty. Then we've got a party! The face of the young man behind the counter broke into a wide smile as he slammed the cash register shut and flipped a switch on the wall behind him. The colorful swirling lights on the skate floor flickered to life. Soon the music was blaring and the boys eagerly watched as kids from their school began to show up. The speakers were blaring a little ditty about Jack and Diane, and the room was steadily filling with familiar faces. Davey looked like a baby giraffe trying to stand on spindly legs as he grew accustomed to moving on eight wheels. Jace and Kai raced in circles around, taunting their buddy, who was struggling to balance using the wall to stabilize himself. After one lap, Davey retreated to the Snack Shack for a drink. A moment later, Kai and Jace skidded to a halt at the counter next to him. Heads up, Kai warned as he glanced toward the door. Kelly and her cookie gang, Sarah and Amy just showed up. Oh no, Jace lamented. Why can't I just get away from her one time? Davey piped up with a mouthful of nachos. I'm surprised she isn't hauling a wagon full of cookies with her. They tracked the movements of the girls as they got skates and laced them up. Standing on shaky legs, Kelly scanned the rink and quickly locked eyes with the boys, gawking from across the room. Realizing that he was awkwardly staring, Jace took a large slurp of soda as he glanced away, pretending not to be watching Kelly and her friends. Kai spoke up. Oh no, I think they spotted us. Act natural. None of the boys dared look up to see where the girls were. As a diversion, Davey ordered a box of Mike and Ike's from the kid behind the candy counter. Popping the box open, he poured the multicolored candy pellets into his mouth, like a waterfall, until it could hold no more and several pieces fell to the floor. He wordlessly offered the candy to his friends as he gnawed on the mouthful of fruit chewiness. Jace held out his hand and Davey filled it with colorful candy. Kelly's familiar voice piped up from behind. Well, look who it is, girls. Jace and his stooges.
Actually, it's Davey and his stooges, Davey corrected through a mouthful of gummy candy.
I'm not talking to you, Frecklehead. Kelly's eyes didn't move from Jace's face. Davey shrank back and nervously stuffed more candy into his mouth. I thought we had an agreement. You were going to buy my cookies, and I was going to graciously keep your secret. She wagged an accusing finger in Jace's face as she continued. That stunt you pulled with the school party? Well, I'm afraid it is going to cost you dearly. She paused to read the boys' response. Their eyes were wide as they listened. Feeling control, she continued. What on earth is Mommy Jameson going to say when she finds out that her dear little Jace stole a pile of money from an old man?
Jace opened his mouth to protest the accusation, but stopped himself before making a sound. He clenched his jaw and narrowed his eyes. This girl was smart and sneaky. Anything he said would indirectly admit to having thousands of dollars. Any admission would allow this girl to wiggle in on their windfall. Instead, he smiled insincerely and said nothing. He reminded himself to watch out for traps like this in the future conversations. Davy spoke suddenly on behalf of the group. "We didn't steal anything. We found it." "Shut up, Davy!" Kai scolded his friend with a punch on the shoulder. Jace squeezed his eyes shut and grimaced at the mistake. "See, girls? I told you it was true." Kelly's face broke into a sly smile as Sarah and Amy giggled gleefully. "I assume this free skating party is your project as well?" "Maybe, maybe not," Jace redirected. "I see you didn't miss it." "Of course not. I get to skate and torture you. Those are two of my three favorite things," she said with a forced smile. "What is your other favorite thing?" Kai inquired carefully. She looked at Kai with a flash of fire in her eyes. "Winning. I win at everything I do." Kai sheepishly nodded. The tense moment was broken by Davy urgently confessing, "I gotta take a leak. Does anybody else want to come?" He stuffed the candy box into his back pocket and ushered his friends by the arms toward the restroom. "We'll talk later, boys," Kelly called after them as they hurried away. "We've still got a lot to discuss." The gaggle of girls glided away on rubber wheels as the boys retreated to the back hallway. In the bathroom, Davy and Kai stood over urinals as Jace vented. "How dare this girl come to our skate party and try to blackmail us?" "Technically, she already did blackmail us," Kai corrected. "She was just repeating the threat." "Yeah, it seemed like she was showing off for her friends." Davy stepped toward the mirror to examine his wounded face. "We have to do something to scare her away." Jace twiddled his fingers as he spoke. "Maybe we should buy some cookies," Kai suggested. "Maybe we should push her in front of a train like they did in that spy movie," Davy added. "Maybe you should stop coming up with stupid ideas," Jace said. "We're not going to murder anyone, dummy." Kai tried to punch Davy's shoulder, but he slipped away just in time to avoid the shot. "Maybe it won't kill her, but just put her into a coma until we get a chance to get rid of this cash," Davy explained. "I'm pretty sure that our solution doesn't include maiming her in any way," Jace proclaimed, putting the idea of violence to rest. "So we're back to the drawing board," Davy shrugged as he dabbed the scratches on his face with a damp paper towel. "What if we just bought some cookies from her?" Kai repeated. "I got it," Jace exclaimed. "We can turn this whole thing around on her. We will tell her mom that she is blackmailing us with cookies." "How do we tell her mom without mentioning that we have a cushion full of money?" Davy quizzed. "We can use the story of my uncle winning the lottery again," Jace said. "That was a pretty lame story the first time you used it." Davy looked pained as he dabbed a little too hard at his wounds. "By now it stinks like month-old yogurt." "Guys," Kai cut off the conversation, "we can make this all go away by simply buying some of her cookies. I know that means she wins, but who cares? We have to get rid of the money anyway." The gears in the minds of the boys ground slowly as they processed what Kai had just said. Finally nodding, Davy responded, "Yeah, he's probably right." "I don't like it," Jace protested half-heartedly. "I just don't like giving in to a terrorist." "Me neither, buddy," Kai clapped him on the shoulder. "But let's just take the loss and make all of this go away." Davy yanked the candy box out of his pocket and dumped the last of the bits into his mouth before slam dunking the empty box into the trash. "It's settled then. Let's go buy some lemon zesties." He charged out the door, fumbling awkwardly on his skates as he led the team of friends. Jace and Kai raced ahead to the rink as Davy navigated from one chair to the next for stability. After a few swift laps, Kai spotted the girls on the crowded floor. skating hand in hand. He swerved behind them and shouted over the music, "Parlay! At the table!" He pointed to a vacant table near the entrance to the rink. Davey was already stumbling his way toward the location. A moment later, the six kids were crowded into the small booth, staring across the table at their nemesis. Jace began, "We talked it over. We're gonna buy some cookies." "Excellent decision," Kelly proclaimed and nodded confidently toward her silent friends. They smiled and giggled in response. "How many boxes do you want to buy?" She spoke loudly over the music. Jace and Kai looked at each other and shrugged. Knowing they had brought more than enough cash to cover the cost of the skating rink, Jace made a confident offer. "How about 50 boxes? "Well, 50 is good, but you know what would be even better?" She cracked a wide grin. 100 boxes. 100 boxes? Kai cut in on the negotiation. "What are we going to do with all those cookies?" "Feed them to the birds for all I care. That is the price. Take it or leave it." She sat back confidently. The boys looked back and forth, weighing the offer. "Do we have enough?" Kai whispered under his breath. They both looked at Davey, who held the envelope in his back pocket. Understanding the question, he nodded and fished into his back pocket to check the account. His eyes grew suddenly wide as he felt an empty pocket. Guys? Quickly switching to the opposite pocket, he found that one empty as well. "The envelope is gone." "What?" Kai and Jace responded in unison, but neither bothered to jinx the other. "What do you mean it's gone?" Kai questioned, flabbergasted. "I mean, it was here a while ago, but now it isn't." His face grew increasingly flushed. "Well, where did it go?" Jace was growing frantic. "I saw you put it in your pocket." "Maybe I got pickpocketed." Davey searched for an explanation. "Does that still happen?" Kai questioned. "Obviously it still happens." Jace raised his voice above the blaring music. "Who could have stolen it?" Davey asked. "Who even knew about it?" As soon as he asked the question, all three boys stopped and peered across the table at Kelly, who was smiling like a satisfied cat. "It was you!" Jace bellowed as he pointed toward Kelly. "What are you talking about?" The smile disappeared from Kelly's face at the accusation. "You stole the money!" He screamed as Davey dug into the memory of his addled brain to remember when he last saw the envelope. "How dare you accuse me of taking something that doesn't belong to me? I would never!" Kelly was speechless at the claim as Sarah and Amy acted aghast and offered their friend comfort. "You're nothing but a thief!" Jace was red-faced, screaming across the table. Davey got up from the table and stumbled off to retrace his steps. "Don't you dare call me that, Jace Jameson!" Kelly defended herself at the top of her lungs. "You just couldn't help yourself!" The song that was blaring through the speakers ended, and a moment of silence washed over the skating rink. Jace kept screaming, "You are a greedy, no-good scoundrel that will lie, cheat, and steal to get anything you think that you deserve. I hope the girl troupe kicks you out for what you've done. I hate your stupid guts, and I hope you die in a fiery bus crash on the way to your lousy concert. Nobody even likes the survivors." He finished ranting, and every eye in the rink was looking at him. The teenage boy inside the DJ booth had pressed pause when he heard yelling, and Jace's words echoed around the brick walls. Davey glided up to the table with a white envelope in his hand. Guys, I found it, he admitted sheepishly. I accidentally threw it away with my candy box in the bathroom. A crowd of girls had converged on Kelly after the verbal attack. Jace could only see the top of her head in the sea of compassion that surrounded her. It bounced rhythmically as she sobbed into Andrea's shoulder. Sarah glared venomously in the direction of the boys as she patted her friend the way a mother calmed a fussy baby. The room started moving again, slowly, and the DJ pressed play on a slow song. The lights grew mercifully dim and the mirror ball came on, distracting from the spectacle of Jace's meltdown. Kelly and her friends slid out of the booth wordlessly and disappeared into the crowd.
Oh no, what have I done? Jace felt like crawling under the table and hiding.
Boy, you really biffed it this time, dude.
Kai offered no sympathy.
Every girl in the school is going to hate me. Jace dropped his face into his hands.
Maybe the whole town. Davy offered no solace.
What am I going to do?
Jace began to get desperate. I need to go explain this to her. He turned toward the crowd, but was intercepted by his friends.
Nope.
Kai stopped him. Now is not the time to try to fix it. Never pick up a red hot horseshoe and never talk to an angry woman. You've got to give them time to cool down. Davy pulled a quarter from his pocket. The party is over, bro. Time to call for a ride.
In a row of thick hedges across the street from the roller rink, a large man with gray hair, which stood up like the bristles of a stiff brush, peered through binoculars. Carefully watching the drama unfold outside the roller rink, he muttered observations into a tiny tape recorder.
Mothman, log number 27. Date, April 30th, 1989. Time, 8:33 p.m. Location, outside Wheel of Wild roller rink, 8:33 p.m. Three boys emerge, matching the target descriptions. Boy 1, short, wiry build, blonde hair, blue jacket. Boy 2, red hair, skinned patches on his face, keeps looking over his shoulder. Boy 3, brown hair and a baseball cap, visibly athletic build, visibly distraught. The boys appear agitated. They exchange hurried words as Boy 1 moves quickly toward the payphone near the entrance. 11:35 p.m. A group of girls, approximately 7 in number, exit the roller rink. They seem to be arguing among themselves. All focus on the boys as one girl points in their direction. Led by a blonde girl with a shiny green jacket, the group advances. 8:36 p.m. Boy 1 turns away from the growing riot as Boy 2 stands between Boy 3 and the angry mob. The girls close in, their voices raised, fragments of the conversation overheard.
You think you can just walk away? How dare you? We're not done.
8:38 p.m. A roller rink employee, male, late teens, wearing a pink and teal colored staff shirt, exits the building. He approaches the group with his hands up, speaking calmly. He positions himself between the opposing groups, attempting to de-escalate the volatile situation. 8:40 p.m. The boys take an opportunity to slip away, heading around the darkened corner of the building. The girls continue to argue with the worker, who now looks frustrated, gesturing toward the retreating boys. 8:43 p.m. With the boys out of sight, the worker appears to convince the girls to disperse and return to the rink. They break off into smaller groups, but one or two continue to glance over their shoulders as if considering pursuit of the disagreement. 8:45 p.m. The roller rink employee walks to the corner and talks to the boys. Boy 3 is sitting on the curb with his head in his hands, as Boy 2 paces nervously. Boy 1 hands the worker a white envelope, and he returns to the entrance and disappears inside. End of log.
Mothman retreated into a small dark parking lot behind the hedgerow as a small brown car pulled up to the roller rink, and the boys piled in. Throwing his leg over the seat of a small motorcycle parked under a streetlight, he pulled a helmet resembling half a large ping pong ball onto his enormous head. He grunted as he sat down on the motorbike, and he felt an abnormal give under his weight. Glancing down, he noticed both of his tires were flat. He cursed half-heartedly while pondering how long it might take to push his small bike home. Mad Max emerged from the bushes up the block and slipped around the corner to his waiting van. He flipped open his notebook as his dog whimpered softly in the back seat. Max scribbled a quick note and chuckled quietly to himself as he cranked the sputtering engine and drove away in a cloud of blue smoke. Thanks for joining us today at Wonder-Filled Stories. And remember, progress matters more than perfection. Small steps still move you forward. And curiosity can turn any ordinary day into something wonder-filled. If you want to know more of what we're up to, check us out at jasonsoul.com. And consider joining the Wonder Club. It's a place for curious kids who want to grow, create, and explore together. So thanks for listening. And remember, choices made are choices lived with. You make good choices and you can live with good consequences, and not the other way around. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and keep your wonder wide open.